So Yamunacharya gave the majority of his kingdom to other Pandya kings. And he also took a part of his kingdom, specifically put it in the name of Ranganath, for all of the wealth would be used to serve Sri Ranganath Swami in Sri Ranga. And he lived in the simplest way as a renunciate. He became so illustrious. His humility, devotion, and vast scholarship soon made him the most prominent saint in all of South India. He became the indisputable acharya of the entire Sri Sampradaya, which began with Lakshmi Devi at the beginning of creation. And he trained, educated, and blessed some of the most powerful, pure-hearted devotees as his disciples. Now I would like to speak briefly on his most prominent disciple, who had such a major impact in human society, and by whose life and teachings has a very deep effect on all of our lives. His name, Sri Ramanujacharya. In Srila Prabhupada's books, he praises Ramanujacharya. Jiva Goswami very deeply drew from Ramanujacharya's teachings to write his Sandarbhas. In fact, his philosophy is so very close to the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to Vedas, we learn that long ago the Brahmins became corrupt. They were misusing the knowledge of Vedas for their own selfish purposes. Because you see, the common people did not know Sanskrit. It was only very high-class Brahmins who knew Sanskrit. So they could easily interpret any way they wanted according to their own selfish purposes, and people had to accept it. It is the same thing that happened with Catholicism. In the early days of the Catholic Church, the Bible was not allowed to be translated. It was only in Latin and Hebrew. And common people did not understand those languages. It was only the priests who were trained. And therefore, whatever you wanted to know had to come through them. Now, this is a very good principle. The principle is parampara. That if people just whimsically try to understand the scriptures by themselves, then they will taint with their own interpretations. The idea is, tad vijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchet. If you want to understand Vedas, you have to approach guru. And who is a guru? One who is trained in the system of parampara to understand the proper conclusions. So it's a good system. But it was dangerously corrupted in India as well as the West. And Brahmins were even propagating animal slaughter in the name of Gomeda Yajnas. And it became rampant. People were being exploited. Keshavadrida Buddha Sarira Jaya Jagadisha Hari. So the Lord appeared as Lord Buddha and taught ahimsa, nonviolence, compassion to all living beings, self-control, how to control the mind and senses through meditation and through good works. But in order to do so, he had to discard the Vedas because they were too much misinterpreted. The result is people became nonviolent. They became peaceful. But they had no conception of God. So Shankaracharya, the inconceivable will of Lord Vishnu, sent Lord Shiva to incarnate as Shankaracharya to drive Buddhism away and establish the authority of the Vedas and establish the conception of God as Brahman, which he very successfully did. He traveled throughout the length and breadth of India, establishing the Advaitavad philosophy. And by one means or another, the Buddhists practically had to flee from India because they could not stand before his arguments. What to speak of the Nagababas. They were like Shankaracharya's patrol force. So he established again the authority of the Vedas everywhere. But he gave a Buddhistic conclusion. Essentially, nirvana means that existence beyond material duality, that existence of total eternal void, where there is no pleasure and no pain. They're simply pure being. And Shankaracharya, on the basis of Vedas, he gave the name Brahman to that all-pervading, formless, supreme, absolute God. He talked about God, but God was like that. It was Ramanujacharya who, more than anyone else in history, established the personality of Godhead as the essence of all the Vedic knowledge, and bhakti as the only way of approaching him. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in his Navadvip Mahatmyam, he writes that Lord Chaitanya took two essential principles from each of the four sampradayas. And what were the two principles he took from the teachings of Ramanujacharya? Very essential. One, pure devotional service, untainted by karma or jnana. And two, humble service to the Vaishnavas. These are essential pillars on the path of bhakti that were so strongly established here in Sri Kanchipuram by Sri Ramanujacharya. There was a great disciple of the name Sri Shailapurna, disciple of Yamunacharya, one of the prominent, dearmost disciples of Yamunacharya. Sri Shailapurna had two sisters. One's name was Kanti Mata and the other was Dyuti Mata, sometimes known as Sri Devi and Bhu Devi. Kanti Mata married a very great Brahmin of the name Asuri Keshavacharya. But they had no children. So Keshavacharya and his wife, they went to the Parthasarathi temple, which is now in the city of Chennai, and performed great sacrifices and yajnas to please Parthasarathi begging for the benediction of having an illustrious son who would be his servant. In the year 1017, about 900 years ago, a child was born. And just about the same time, her sister, Duti Mata, Mati, also had a child. So Sri Shailapurna, the uncle of the two children, he came and he offered his blessings to these two children. And when he saw the qualities and attributes of this little baby, the son of Keshavacharya, he was struck with wonder. He understood this is a great personality. And Sri Shailapurna, disciple of Yamunacharya, named the child Ramanuja, which is the name of Lakshman, the younger brother of Sri Ram. And for his cousin brother, Sri Shailapurna gave the name Govinda. This took place in the village of Sri Purumbudur, where we may be visiting tomorrow. The birthplace of Sripad Ramanujacharya. While they were living in this small village, Ramanujacharya was a boy. There was a great sadhu who lived here in Kanchipuram. And every day he would be traveling to another temple and he would stop through the village of Ramanujacharya. His name, Kanchipurna. He was a Sudra by birth. He was one of the most intimate, loving disciples of Yamunacharya. But although he was a Sudra, at a time when people were very much classified by their castes, even most respected Brahmins offered him all respect and honor. When Ramanujacharya, one evening, was coming back from school, he happened to see this humble, gentle, loving devotee. Ramanujacharya's heart melted upon seeing him. He even heard so many nice things about him. Oh, you are Kanchipurna. Please come to my home and honor prasad. Kanchipurna responded to the love of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanuja personally served him prasad with his own loving hands. And after prasad, Ramanujacharya begged permission to massage Kanchipurna. But Kanchipurna refused. He said, "You are a Brahmin of the highest order, and I am a Shudra. I'm the lowest of men. I am not, it would be a very, very irreligious thing for me to allow you to massage me. No, it is not possible." Ramanujacharya cried. He said, "You are a great devotee. If my being born in a Brahmin family does not allow me to worship a great devotee like you, then being a Brahmin is most inauspicious and condemned. You are Krishna's dear devotee. One who is a pure devotee with no material desires, he is the real Brahmin." Kanchipurna was very pleased to hear Ramanujacharya's great faith and devotional service. They became dearmost associates. That night, all night long, Kanchipurna enlightened Ramanuja in subjects of Krishna. And a very historical relationship was established. Their hearts binded with pure unalloyed love, love for each other. When Ramanujacharya was 16 years old, his father arranged a marriage with a most beautiful lady. It describes that her physical qualities were like those of an apsara from a very high-placed Brahmin family. But just a month after their marriage, a great tragedy took place. Asuri Keshavacharya, the father of Ramanuja, gave up his body. Rakshakambala, the wife of Ramanuja, and Ramanuja himself were very deeply hurt by the loss of their loving father. He felt there was no reason to remain in that village anymore. So at the age of 16, he shifted his wife and mother to Kanchipuram. And the house that Ramanujacharya constructed here is just a few minutes from where we are sitting today. If Krishna blesses us in a special way, we will all visit there. He wanted to deeply study the scriptures. And at that time, in Kanchipuram, the most famous of all teachers was named Yadava Prakash. Ramanuja became the dearmost student of Yadava Prakash. Why? Because anything he taught, he tried so hard to learn. He would master any subject by the end of the day. But more than that, he was so humble. He had such a deep service attitude. He was always, always respectful to others. This very much won the heart, not only of his teacher, but everyone in Kanchipuram. But there was a problem. Yadava Prakash was a staunch follower of the Advaitavad philosophy of Sripad Shankaracharya. And Ramanuja had no inclination toward this philosophy. He was only 16 years old. Yadava Prakash was a very elder senior scholar. One day after class, Yadava Prakash requested Ramanujam to massage him with scented oils. So Ramanujam was massaging his Guru Maharaj with oils, laying on his back. And one student came with some questions for his teacher. Particular verse describing the eyes of Lord Krishna. And Yadavacharya quoted, I don't remember the Sanskrit, but none of you know it anyway. So I might as well just speak the English translation. He was glorifying the beauty of Krishna's eyes as being red like the rear end of a monkey. Thank you. Ramanujam didn't say anything, but his heart was so hurt by hearing this description that tears, hot tears, were flowing from his eyes and falling on his teacher's body. Yadava Prakash felt these hot tears falling. He said, "What is it? What is it? Why are you doing? Why are you crying? Why are you so disturbed?" And Ramanujam said, "I cannot accept this description." And he gave another translation of the same Sanskrit verse. He said, "What this really means is Krishna's eyes have the reddish hue of a lotus flower that blooms in the water under the sun." Yadava Prakash could not defeat that. However, he was very disturbed. He said, "Are you challenging Sripad Shankaracharya's explanation? Do you claim that you know better than him?" That was the first confrontation. Ramanuja, out of politeness, would not argue with his teacher. But sometimes things just became so disturbing he could not contain himself. One time during class in front of all the other students, he was describing the Lord, the Absolute Truth, as Satchidananda, with no form, with no characteristics, with no qualities, and how everything in existence is simply an illusion, doesn't exist. And oh, Lord Chaitanya said, "When a sincere devotee hears Mayavad philosophy denying the form, the qualities, the pastimes, and the names of the Lord as being illusion, it breaks their hearts. They cannot tolerate it." So Ramanujacharya said, "This is not what Satchidananda means. The Lord has an eternal form, and he has eternal characteristics, and he has an eternal abode, and we are all his eternal servants, and he has various energies, and everything that exists is not an illusion. They are all manifestations of the energies of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, they are real, but material life simply is temporary manifestations of the Lord's eternal energy." Yadava Prakash could not defeat him. But at that time, Ramanuja became his enemy. Yadava Prakash spoke to some of the other faithful students. He said, "This boy Ramanuja, he is going to destroy and spoil the sanctity of Sripad Shankaracharya Siddhanta." His arguments are very powerful and they're very scrutinized according to the Vedas, but he doesn't accept authority. Therefore, he is very dangerous. He must be stopped. And one of the boys said, "Well, why don't you just kick him out of school and let him start his own school?" He said, "That's the problem. If he starts his own school, he will defeat us. He will conquer us. There's only one solution. He must be killed." And all the students agreed, "Yes, for the sake of a higher cause, he must be killed." Because the philosophy of Sripad Shankaracharya is for the ultimate benefit of the whole world for all time to come, so why should we let one stupid little boy like this, who is disobedient and speculative, why should we allow him to jeopardize liberation for all time to come? He must be killed. So they made a plan that they would go on a yatra. Now, we have come to Kanchipuram on yatra. But they decided to leave Kantripuram for yatra. And the yatra was to go to Varanasi to bathe in the holy river Ganges and purify themselves of their sins. And the idea was, when they're in the deep dark forest, they would murder Ramanujam. And then when they would come back, they would say that he was lost. He was eaten by wild animals. There was nothing we could do. So they went farther and farther into the northern provinces. And they were just about to finalize the last arrangements to murder Ramanuja. And they were discussing their plans, the students. However, the cousin brother of Ramanujacharya, whose name was Govinda, he heard their plans. He was startled. He ran to Ramanuja. He said, "Very soon, possibly even tomorrow, they're going to kill you. Get out from this place." It was nighttime, and Ramanuja ran into the forest, all alone. The next morning, Yadava Prakash called for the students. Ramanuja was not there. He sent his students everywhere searching for him, but they could not find him. They were in bliss. They were sure that he was eaten by some wild animals and he's dead. But because Govinda was there, they all started crying and lamenting, "Oh, such a great loss." And Yadava Prakash was preaching to Govinda, "I'm very sorry this happened, but after all, he's not this body, he's the eternal soul." And he's certainly on his way to Brahman, to liberation. So there's nothing to lament. But inside, they were very happy. So little Ramanuja, he was only 18 years old at this time. He was all alone in the jungles. He didn't know which direction to go. And he happened to meet some hunters, some bird hunters. And they saw him, such a young boy. "Where are you going? Why are you here alone?" He said, "I am trying to go to my home in Kanchipuram." They said, "Oh, that's where we're going. We are going to Kanchipuram. Because our profession is killing birds. And we want to go to Kanchipuram to have the darshan of Varadraj and also to Rameshwaram to have. And by going to these holy places, we are hoping to be relieved of the sins of our killing birds. So you come with us. We will take you there." So they walked some distance. And it was night. And the hunter, who was tall with very dark complexion, he gathered wood and lit a fire. But then the wife said, "I'm thirsty. I need water." But the husband said, "It's very dark. You cannot find water now. There is a well close by, but we'll go in the morning." So the next morning, Ramanuja was so enthusiastic to serve. He went all the way down a hill to this well and brought up a bucket of water for the hunter's wife, and she drank all of it. Said, "Would you like more?" She said, "Yes." So he went all the way down the hill again and get another bucket of water and brought it up, and she drank everything. So he ran down again three times and she drank everything. He ran down again four times, and when he came back, she was gone. And he was gone. And he didn't know where they were. And then he happened to look over the trees and he saw the gopurams of Shivakanshi and Varadraj Swami's temple. And he realized he was in Kanchipuram. And then it was revealed to him that Lakshmi and Narayan personally incarnated in the form of those hunters to bring him home. Otherwise, he would have surely died in the wilderness. Kauntiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. The Lord always protects his devotees. When he returned to Kanchipuram, his mother and his aunt were so happy to see them. The aunt was saying, "Where is Govinda, my child? Where is Govinda?" He said, "He is still there." And he revealed to his mother what was the plot, but made her promise, "Please do not tell anyone." But then the most beautiful thing happened. Kanchipurna, that most dear, loving associate of Lord Varadraj, when he heard that his intimate, loving friend Ramanuja had returned, he immediately came to that place and greeted him. Govinda, the cousin of Ramanuja, when he was in Varanasi, he worshipped Vishwanath Kashi and became very deeply devoted. And in that experience of great love for Kashi Vishwanath, he went into the Ganges to take his bath, and an ancient Shiva Lingam he found and made that his Ishtadev. And he decided to stay in a place called Kalahasti, where he worshipped Lord Shiva with his life and soul. Meanwhile, Yadava Prakash returned to Kanchipuram and was shocked with misery to see Ramanuja's here. But he pretended he was in bliss. He was, "Oh, Ramanuja, we thought you were dead. We're so happy that you're here. We're so happy that you're here." And all the students were saying, "Oh, a miracle. How did you come here? We thought you were dead. We were looking everywhere. We were crying. We were weeping. We were suffering. Now we're so happy that you're here." That was their words. But in their hearts, they were disgusted. "Why are you not dead?" Hare Krishna. So Yadava Prakash told Ramanuja, "You should come and resume your studies." So he resumed his studies. One day during a festival here in Kanchipuram, Yadava Prakash was walking with his hand on Ramanuja's shoulder, surrounded by other disciples. At that time, one of the most historical events of our Vaishnava history took place. Is everyone awake? Should I continue? Sripad Yamunacharya, with his disciples, came for the darshan of Varadraj. From Srirangam, they came all the way to Kanchipuram. And Yamunacharya from a distance saw Ramanuja. At this place where these steps are. That is where Yamunacharya saw Ramanujacharya. And his heart melted with love. Previously, Yamunacharya had read some of the beautiful writings of Ramanujacharya glorifying pure unalloyed love for Lord Vishnu. And he knew he was a pure devotee in heart. And Ramanuja was so effulgent with love of God. But Yamunacharya could not tolerate seeing him with Yadava Prakash, who was a staunch, envious Mayavadi. Yamunacharya so much wanted to just go up and embrace Ramanuja, but he did not want to be close to the association of Yadava Prakash. So Yamunacharya prayed at the lotus feet of Varadraj to deliver Ramanujacharya from this bad association and bring him into the association of devotees. The king of the Chola dynasty, which was based here in Kanchipuram, had a princess. And she was haunted by a horrible ghost. Now, Yadava Prakash was not only famous as a great scholar, but he was also known as a great mystic who can exorcise or drive out ghosts. So the king tried so many ways, but the girl, she was acting like she was insane because she was possessed by this demoniac being. So he called for Yadava Prakash. Yadava Prakash began to perform his various rituals and chanting his mantras. And the ghost spoke through the mouth of the princess and said, "Yadava Prakash, you are a fool. You think you can drive me out of this princess's body? No way. I am far more powerful than you." That really burned the ego of Yadava Prakash. So he started chanting the mantras with more feeling and more devotion and started performing higher levels of rituals. And the ghost spoke and said, "Yadava Prakash, you are just an insignificant fool. You can do nothing to me. There's only one person that can drive me out of her, and that is the pure-hearted disciple, student of yours named Ramanuja." Now this was spoken right in front of the king. So although Yadava Prakash hated Ramanuja, he was sociably obliged to bring him. Ramanuja came. He was just young, 18, 19 years old. Started chanting some mantras. And then the ghost spoke through the princess's mouth and said, "Your heart is pure. I want the dust of your feet to purify my existence. Place both of your feet on my head, and then I will leave." Ramanujacharya said, "How will we know that you leave?" He said, "I will leave the princess, and the highest branch of the banyan tree above us, I will break it and it will fall down." Then the ghost caused the princess to bow down at the feet of Ramanuja. And he placed both of his lotus feet on their heads. And immediately, the branch was broken. And the girl, it was like she just woke up from a dream. And she looked around and everyone was looking at her and she didn't know what was happening. She asked, "What's happening?" And someone said, "You've been haunted by a ghost." So she felt very embarrassed and she ran to a secluded place. Sri Ramanujacharya ki. Everyone was happy except Yadava Prakash. Now this little student of his, hardly a fraction of his age, is not only defeating him philosophically, but showing the whole world that his powers are greater than his. So Yadava Prakash, the next time they had a confrontation between Vaishnava philosophy and Mayavad philosophy, he said, "Get out from this school, you are expelled." So Ramanujacharya gladly left the school. But here in Kanchipuram, every day Ramanujacharya would meet Sri Kanchipurna. I'd like to tell you something about his pure devotion. every day for several hours, he would fan the Lord. He would fan the Lord and sing beautiful hymns and songs for the pleasure of the Lord. He was a very simple man. He was not known as a scholar. He was coming from a Sudra family. But he had such simple and pure devotion. During the summertime, when it's very hot, he would dip the fan in water and then make cool breezes for the pleasure of the Lord. And he would spend much of his day just fanning Lord Varadraj. And he would go out and bring the best possible fruits and nicest flowers to offer to Varadaraj. And because of his pure, simple, innocent devotion, Varadaraj would converse with him. They would have heart-to-heart talks with each other. And the people of Kanchipuram knew that whatever message Varadaraj wanted to give to the people, he would speak through Kanchipurna, and he would share that message. This was their loving relationship. His intentions were known only through Kanchipurna. One day, Ramanujacharya approached this simple, humble devotee. And he said, "Now I have been rejected by Yadava Prakash. And no one can understand the scriptures alone. One must have a guru. So it is my desire. Please, now you be my guru. In my heart of hearts, I have already accepted you as my guru." Kanchipurna became very disturbed upon hearing this. He said, "You are a Brahmin, and I am a Shudra, a low Shudra. I'm full of sins. I am ignorant of the real knowledge of the scriptures. How can I teach you?" Ramanujacharya, with tears of sincerity in his eyes, he said, "You are most dear to the Lord. For small-minded people, the more they gain knowledge of the scriptures, the more they become puffed up with false pride rather than developing real devotion." I will repeat. This is a tendency that the more we become learned in the scriptures, instead of awakening devotion, it will awaken false pride, ego, which is the greatest enemy to real devotion. But to a virtuous person who is in a sincere mood of service of the Vaishnavas, to that person, the more we gain knowledge of the scriptures, the more we develop pure devotion. He said, "You are the Lord's intimate associate. Your simple service has conquered the heart of the Lord. Therefore, you know all the conclusions of the scriptures. Please, please instruct me." Kanchipurna told Sri Ramanujacharya, "Every day you should bring one pot of water to offer to Varadaraj." How wonderful. Ramanuja was such a great scholar, such a high Brahmin. And this is the service he's given. Such a simple, menial service that anyone could do. So every day, very faithfully, with a heart of great devotion, he would climb down to the same well that the hunters asked him to get water for him. And he would bring a pot of water for Varadraj. In Srirangam, the great Acharya Yamuna became ill. By this time, he was very old. One of his most loving senior disciples was Taruvaranga. Taruvaranga wanted to ask for last instructions before Gurudev were to leave this world. He asked, how, with uncontrolled minds that we have, how can we actually understand and know Lord Narayan? Yamunacharya gave these instructions. He said, you must serve the pure devotees. By serving the pure devotees, one's false ego is crushed. And you should also serve the deities with flowers and with fruits, following in the footsteps of Kanchipurna. Yamunacharya then said that all problems will be resolved by simply adopting one principle in our life. I will repeat, all problems will be resolved by simply following one principle in our life. And that principle is Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta. We must follow in the footsteps of the great souls. In this case, follow in the footsteps of Kanchipurna, who had such simple and wholehearted love for the Lord. This is why these stories are so important to understand. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Paramhamsa Samhita. The vast majority of Srimad Bhagavatam is about the love of the devotees for the Lord. The histories of the Acharyas, they teach by their example how to apply the sacred principles of the scriptures. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it is not by studying the scriptures scrutinizingly, it is not by penance and austerities or any of our own endeavors that we can truly understand the highest truth of Krishna. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. It is only by hearing the qualities of the great souls and making the sacrifice of following in their footsteps. Yamunacharya was informed by some pilgrims who came from Kanchipuram to Srirangam that now Ramanuja was no longer in any way under the guidance of Yadava Prakash. Now he has started his own school. Yamunacharya's heart rejoiced. It was the fulfillment of his prayer. He called Mahapurna, one of his very exalted disciples, and told him, please go to Kanchipuram and bring Ramanacharya to come to meet me. At that time, people really thought Yamunacharya was going to give up his body at any moment. But just before this, he started to appear to regain health and even went to the Ranganath temple to have darshan of the Lord. So Mahapurna, confident that his Guru Maharaj will live for some more time, he traveled by foot from Srirangam to Kanchipuram. It took about 4 days. Now, the day after tomorrow, we're going to drive. And it's much more pleasurable to walk. But because of the passionate lifestyles that we are all living, we simply do not have time. So we're following in the footsteps with wheels to Srirangam. So he traveled for 4 days until he arrived in Kanchipuram. And when he arrived in Kanchipuram, he met his godbrother Kanchipurna, who brought him in before Varadraj. Varadraj was fanning him and talking to him and singing to him. I mean, Kanchipurna fanning and singing and talking to the Lord. And Mahapurna and Kanchipurna, they embraced with so much deep love. And they both went to Ramanujacharya. He said that Guru Maharaj Jamunacharya is very ill. He wants to see you before he leaves this world. Ramanujacharya was overcome with emotion. I am so low. I am so insignificant. I am so sinful. How is it that the great Yamunacharya is thinking of me in his last days? I do not deserve this. Let us go. Mahapurna said, well, shouldn't you at least inform your wife and family that you're going? He said, when Guru's order comes, that is the only priority of life. There is no time for family or any other thing. When Guru gives order, we will go. So he left. And they traveled for approximately 4 days. But while they were away, Yamunacharya, he gave his final instructions to his disciples. And fixing his heart and his mind on the great Alvars, who was his previous acharyas, and chanting the holy names of the Lord, devotees surrounding him chanting God's holy names, in a most glorious way, Yamunacharya gave up his life. The whole of Srirangam was tormented with the agony of separation. Some of the devotees were thinking that they should just commit suicide. They could not tolerate living without their guru. But there was a procession with Ranganath. And Ranganath spoke to the pujari and announced loudly, no one is allowed to commit suicide. It is a very sinful, irreligious activity. So they gave up those thoughts. Meanwhile, Mahapurna and Ramanujacharya were eagerly going as fast as they could to see Yamunacharya. But when they arrived, they saw big crowds of people weeping and crying. And they asked, what has happened? He said, you have not heard? Yamunacharya has passed away from this world. Mahapurna, one of his foremost disciples, his limbs started trembling and tears were pouring from his eyes. And Ramanujacharya, when he heard the news, just went blind. Tears poured from his eyes, and within a matter of seconds, he fell to the ground unconscious. Mahapurna was trying in every way to bring Ramanujan back to consciousness by sprinkling holy waters upon him. finally when he came back to external thinking, they went to the site where Yamunacharya's body was just about to be enshrined in a samadhi. Ramanujacharya was looking at his guru with tears flooding his eyes, his heart melting in ecstasy of separation. Ramanuja saw something peculiar, that three of Yamunacharya's fingers were clenched, closed very tightly. He asked the disciples, did he ordinarily close his fingers like that? They said, we have never seen him like this. His fingers were always straight. Ramanujacharya then went into an internal trance, meditating on the will of his Guru Maharaj. To everyone's surprise, he proclaimed, I will spread the message of pure devotional service to the supreme form of the personality of Godhead throughout the whole of the land of India. When he said that, one of the clenched fingers opened straight. He spoke again. In order to establish the pure doctrine of love of God, in order to establish that Jiva is the eternal servant of the Lord and the supremacy of Lord Vishnu, I will write a commentary on Vedanta Chusha Sutra and entitle it the Sri Bhasya. At that moment, the second finger opened. Ramanujacharya understood from the heart of Yamunacharya that in his mission there were three things that were still unfulfilled. He spoke again. In honor of the great speaker of Vishnu Purana, Parasara Muni, I will name a disciple Parasara. The third finger opened. Everyone assembled were struck with wonder. Without exception, all the disciples of Yamunacharya could recognize that Ramanujacharya was empowered to understand the inner heart of their Guru Maharaj, and that he would be the one to fulfill the mission of Yamunacharya in this world. Ramanujacharya did not have the heart to see the final rites of Yamunacharya. He decided to leave to return to Kanchipuram. The devotee said, well, don't you at least want to have the darshan of Ranganath? And Ramanujacharya, with tears in his eyes, he said, I cannot look at this time of the Lord who has taken away my beloved Guru Maharaj. And he returned to Kanchipuram. When he returned, his mother had already died sometime before. He was just living with his wife, Raksha Kambal. But his intimate, lifelong, loving associate was always Kanchipurna, who would fan the deity and talk to the deity with such simple love. One day when they were meeting together, Ramanujacharya He pleaded with Kanchipurna. In my heart of heart, I had accepted Yamunacharya as my guru. But before any type of initiation, he has passed away. I accept you as my guru. Please, please, initiate me. Kanchipurna became very disturbed in his heart. He said, I am very low, I am very ignorant, I am very sinful, and you are a Brahmin, and you're very learned, and you're illustrious, and you are favored by our guru, Yamunacharya. I'm a Shudra. I have no qualification except being a Shudra. By the mercy of the Lord, he allows me to do menial services for him, but I have no qualification. I cannot be your guru. I am unqualified. When he said that, Ramanujacharya's, could everyone hear? Ramanujacharya's heart was broken. He was thinking that Kanchipurna is so elevated, so exalted, that if he even glances upon a dog, that dog will be delivered. But the fact that he's not willing to accept me means I am lower than the dog. It is because of my false pride, because of my material desires, I am unqualified to be accepted by Kanchipurna. What can I do to purify myself to be accepted by him? And then he had an idea in his mind. If I eat the remnants of Maha Maha Prasad left from the plate of Kanchipurna, then I will become purified. So with this thought in his mind, he begged Kanchipurna to come to his house to take lunch prasad, with the intense expectation of receiving his remnants. Kanchipurna could understand his intention. Therefore, he refused. But Ramanujam was insisting again and again with so much love that finally Kanchipurna said, all right, I will come to your house for lunch prasad tomorrow. So the next day, to give honor to Kanchipurna, just at the time of lunch prasad, Ramanujacharya went to Kanchipurnam's place where he was serving Varadraj to bring him home. But Kanchipurnam understood exactly. And while Ramanuja, just after he left, he ran to the house. And he told Ramanuja's wife, Raksha Kambala, that I'm in a great hurry. I have seva for Varadraj. Please give me prasad immediately. And she very respectfully gave him a seat and gave him water to wash his feet and said, please wait for my husband. He's very much expecting you. He'll be home any minute. He said, no, no, the deity is, Varadraj is waiting for me. I cannot wait. Give me prasad immediately. So she served him prasad and he ate prasad and he picked up his plate and he threw it in a distant place and he left. And then Ramanujacharya arrived. And he saw his wife cooking. So why are you cooking? Where is Kanchipurna? She said, he already came. He already ate. And he left. He said, well, why are you cooking? Where is his remnants? She said, because he's a Shudra, I cannot give you his remnants. So I gave all of his remnants to a Sudra woman. And I'm cooking new prasad just for you. Ramanujacharya's heart was devastated. He chastised his wife. He said, you foolish woman. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. It was my hope and my plan in life to become purified by his remnants. And you have spoiled everything.